You have your Bible, turn tonight to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to begin reading it, verse 14. The Bible says, "Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." I want to preach tonight for just a little bit, if God will be my help, on this thought, having a friend. Amen? Having a friend. Now, as I thought, got to thinking about this, I got to thinking about what a friend might be. I think of a friend most time as we think of a friend most time as maybe a close acquaintance. Somebody that we're around a whole lot, and somebody that you care about. Amen? You care about, you like to see them do well. Amen? It's probably somebody, someone that you like to fellowship with. Someone you can talk to. Amen? Someone you can commune with. Someone you can tell your troubles to. And they're willing to listen. I mean, that's a friend. Amen? It's probably somebody that you can talk to and fellowship with. That you'll probably like to be around. Amen? You'd like to have them around. I like being around the church folk. I mean, I do. I hang out with folks, and people think I'm crazy, but I like to be around church people. They bless my heart. Amen. Because they're comfort to me. But what does it take tonight to be a friend? I got to think about that. What does it take to be a friend? In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, the Bible says this: "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." Amen? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, you know what that means to me? Brother Scott, you know what that means to me? That means that word "show," he said, must show himself friendly. Show himself. That means in order to have a friend, we have to put ourselves on display. And it has to look to that person something that is intriguing, something that they'd like to see, something that they'd like to spend some time with. Amen. Now I ask you to ask yourself tonight, are you a friendly person? Or do you put yourself out there in a friendly fashion? We wonder why sometimes we don't have friends. Well, I wonder if when we put ourselves on display, what kind of display are we putting out there? What kind of display do you put up there for the world to see? You know, if you have your little temper tantrums and you have your little spats and you're backbiting and talking all the time about people, it's not a very good display. Amen? But he said, a man that hath friends, amen, a one that has friends, amen, must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When I think about this, I think about the friend that you have. And Brother Kevin, that friend, that one that's a true friend, he's a friend that'll stick with you. Amen. A little something you do, a little something that you rub him the wrong way, it won't cause him to kick away from you. A true friend is a friend that'll stick with you no matter what. Even when you misbehave, he'll stay with you. Amen. Amen. Even when you do things that might hurt their feelings, they still stick with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I've got some friends in the family of God that'll stick with me. Amen. I'll still pray for me and lift me up. Amen. Even if sometimes when I step on your toes, praise God, or God does, amen, you still love me and you're still my friend. Amen. I thank God for that. I've got some that still stick with me. Praise the Lord. And I hope I display unto you through myself a friendship and a friendliness. Amen? I'd never want to not be a friend to anybody. You know why? Because life is too short to be making enemies. I don't want no enemies. I want to have friends. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I thought about this. I could get more friends. I could have more friends if I had more money. Ain't that right, Brother Bill? If me and Brother Bill had been born rich instead of that bird good looking, amen, we could have had all kinds of friends. But the Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 4, now I'm going to take my time so I don't tell you the wrong chapter and verse. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 4 said, wealth maketh many friends. Amen. If you got the dough, man, the friends will roll in. You get friends, you'll have friends all over the world if you start flashing a little cash. You'll be surprised what money can buy. Amen. I told a young man one time, and he was talking about all these friends he had. I said, them ain't your friends, they just use you because you got money. You got a job and they don't. I said, you let something happen to your job, you let you get down where you can't provide the ride, and they'll be gone. He said, oh no, you don't understand, preacher. They're my friends. Well, he got one time his car broke down. He didn't have no way to get jerked because he'd been out the night before and the old boys was encouraged and got to jerking it around and jerked the transmission out of it. The transmission rear end one anyway, it was disabled. Guess what? He couldn't have found them friends with a search warrant. Amen? He didn't have nothing they needed. So they wasn't nowhere around. But if we got wealth, wealth makes a lot of friends. But he goes on in Proverbs and says, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Have you ever noticed, Will, if we ain't careful, we tend to look down our nose at somebody that ain't got quite as much as we do. But if we ain't careful, we mess up in that because we don't know their situation. You say, well, preacher, they're just not good stewards if they took care of what God gave them. Amen. You don't ever know whether they may have had some hospital bills, some tragedy in their family. Amen. It caused them to be in the situation they're in. Amen. But he says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. He goes on back in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 20. It says, the poor is hated even of his own neighbors, but the rich man hath many friends. Amen. The rich man has lots of friends, amen, because I think if ain't careful, we tend to buy our friends. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about not doing good deeds, but I thank God for being able to do good deeds, what God give you. What a blessing is to be able to give. That you've received, praise God, to be a blessing. But he said, a poor man's hated of his neighbor, but the rich man hath many friends. We got to be careful, don't we? Amen. I'm talking about having a friend. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says, a friend loveth at all times. Amen. So when you got money, he'll love you. When you run on hard times, he'll love you. You know what kind of friend this is? This is a true friend. Amen. A true friend to be there with you in the hard times, and to be a friend of a true friend to be there with you in the good times, and a true friend to be there with you in all times. Amen. He'll be there to encourage you and help you along the way. But we see here in the Word of God that we have a friend in Jesus. He's no greater friend that a man could ever have than a friend in Jesus. You know why? Because he has it all. And he looks past our disappointments, amen, and loves us. Anyway, he is a true friend of the believer. Amen. So what does Jesus tell you, being a friend? What does it involve? What's involved in being a friend? Number one, it involves doing the things that's pleasing to him. In verse 10 of chapter 15 of John, it says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So he said, there's an abiding love. He said, doing that pleases the Lord. Amen. Staying in the center of God's will, keeping his commandments. You say, preacher, how it's so hard. How in the world can we ever keep the commandments of God? Just follow his word. Amen. This is the commandments of God. Amen. If it deviates from this book, Brother Dean, amen, we need to chunk it and go another way. That's about as simple as a child could understand it. Amen. He said, just follow in the commandments of God. Amen. Love each other. Love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like God loves us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So he says, we follow his commandments. Amen. We become servants of the Most High God. But not only are we servants, him following his commandments, doing his commandments, but it's more than that. It's not just following commandments, but it's being, as Paul said in Romans 1:1, being that bond servant. Amen. Following the Lord, not because we have to. Hello. Following the Lord, praise God, following his commandments, because we want to. See, I'm afraid what's happening in our world today, in a lot of our churches, amen, we think we've got to do this and we've got to do that. Amen. We ought to come to a place in our Christian life saying, glory be to God, I'm glad I get to. Amen. Because there's nothing like being a child of God. There's just a comfort and a peace that comes on your heart when you're following this book as close as you know how. Amen. Say amen, owe me one. Praise the Lord. Because it's being a friend. That's what identifies us as a friend of Jesus. Amen. It's following his commandments. Not only does it follow his commandments, but realizing that our master has become our friend. The one that's in charge of all of it. Praise God. He comes to where we are. Look at verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. He said, what's happened here, said God is a, he takes that servant, now watch this, and he puts into him his confidence. The master takes the servant and he enters into a confidence with that servant. Amen. He says, so now, as he said, I not call you servants, but he said, because I'm going to inform you, amen, we're going to be on the same page. We're going to be communicating together. And so therefore, we're part of this together. He said, I'm going to call you friends. Amen. You say, well, does that get us out of being servants? No. We're still a servant, praise God, but what's happened is a different scene. Amen. There's a different scene, amen, where the cooperation between us and God, amen, exists, and a cooperation is there as we cooperate with him, and he helps us. Because he's the master. He knows what we need. And he explains to us. He lets us in on the book. Amen. You see, God ain't like us. Some people think he's up there and he's just, we're like little pawns in a chess game. He's just moving us around and don't want us to know what's going on. That's not the God I serve. My God loves me and he wants me to know what's going on. He wants to help me, amen. And through my cooperation with him, he cooperates with me and he helps me to know his mind. Amen. Mind of God's a great big thing. I've said many, many times, if God was small enough to put in a box, he wouldn't be big enough to be my God. Amen. But God is great in all that he does. Amen. So he gives us this cooperation. He allows us to help and amen in our ministry for him and our servants to him. Amen. And there's a sympathy. Not only is there a cooperation, but there's a sympathy. Amen. He sympathizes with us because he knows we're just old sinful creatures. Amen. Amen. Oh me. Right. He knows we're just old sinful. So he sympathizes with us. But you know what? I sympathize with him. Hello? Because I know what he's got to work with. And I sympathize with him and I say, oh Lord, please help me to be as good as I can for your glory. Because remember, we're in this together. He's took me into his confidence. He's coming into my life and he's explained to me, Brother Kevin, what he'd like for me to be. And what he's in the direction he's helping me to go. And he's trying to get me there. So he has a cooperation. He has a sympathy for me. I've got a sympathy for him. We're sympathetic to one another. Amen. Him a whole lot more sympathetic than I am. Because I know I need all the help I can get. I've told you many times, I get up in the morning and I say, Lord God, I'm perfect. Ain't messed up, ain't had a bad thought, ain't done nothing wrong. But in a minute, I'm going to swing my feet over out of the bed and set up, and I need your help. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every day. But He's sympathetic with me. He cooperates with me. Amen. And then me and Him, we come together in this thing, and we begin to fellowship together. You know what's wrong with our church? You know why we got dying churches? Because there's no fellowship with God. We come together, amen, and we don't realize that we have a friend in Jesus. And we come in there and say, oh goodness, hey, go, let me get girded up and go back, go down the house of God, and that old preacher's just going to skin me again. God's going to take His Word and He's going to skin me and He's going to rub salt in it in that wound, and He's just going to scuff me up just as big as He can, and He's going to send me to house. Amen. Glory to God. If I need skin, and I say, skin me, Lord. Amen. Scuff me good, praise God, for Your glory. And season me, glory God, so that I'll get over it. Yeah. Amen. And I'll shout the praises of God all the way to His house. Amen. But He said, but what we're missing is the fellowship. Realize it's because He loves us so much. He's a friend. We have a friend in Jesus, and He cares for us in such a big way. Amen. That He allows us to partake in a communication with Him. Amen. Don't just chunk us out there and say, do the best you can. Huh? You can't do that. You don't do that down at the job. I used to get them little boys in and come into maintenance and shop, and I didn't just take them out there and give them a screwdriver and adjustable wrench and say, here, just go out there on the machine. Just do the best you can. Can you imagine what a mess that'd have been? I mean, some of them boys, it was all you could do to keep an eye on them when you just keep an eye on them, if you know what I mean. Amen. You say, yeah, this is what I need, and just do this, and do it this way, okay? You understand? Yeah, I got this. And you'd walk away, come back 30 minutes, they should have been done, they're still working on it, and they went a completely different direction, got parts of laying everywhere. And say, do you know where all this go? No. But I got that. Well, that's what I thought. See, that's where we mess up. We get to thinking. And it's okay to think outside the box. Amen. But it's not okay we get to thinking outside the book. Amen. We can think outside the box. That's good. God likes it when we think outside the box. Amen. We can do things, bring Him glory, to bring joy and honor and glory to His name. Praise God. God's all for that. But when we start thinking outside the book, that's when we mess up. That's when the communication's broken. I'm going to say there's a lot of communication. I'm thinking we're bringing reproach on our friend. Amen. When we break that communication. Now, where does the communication come from? When we realize the communication comes from, when we realize that it's God's counsel speaking our hearts. And it's not our way. You know, the highway. It's not our way, but it's God's way. Amen. And that God's way is that narrow way. Amen. That leads to righteousness. Amen. And righteous living. Amen. That's where our friend takes us. A friend takes you on a narrow path to a good place. For a person that's claimed to be a friend, but really not, take you on a broad way, it leads to destruction. Now, he won't show you how to get back because he don't care if you make it back. Yeah, preacher, how do we get this communication? How do we get this good counsel, the good way of God? We get through the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God. Amen? When we get to taking this precious book and saying it is a precious book, this is the infallible Word of God. Amen. This is God breathed. Amen? 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 This is the King James Bible. It's the Bible, hello? It's the Bible for English speaking people. It was written in an 8th grade education level. An 8th grade reading level. When somebody says, well, preacher, I just don't understand it. I said, did you go to the 8th grade? Amen. Well, yeah, I just can't read it. Did you go to 8th? Yeah, I went to 8th grade. Well, then you just need to seek the Holy Ghost of God and help of the Lord. Amen. Bible says, spiritually discerned, it speaks for itself. Amen. You say, well, I read through it and I didn't get nothing out of it. Read it again. Read it again. Amen. Just keep reading. Say, Lord, I'm going to just keep reading this. You show me something. Please, Lord, I need something. Don't do like the old fellow didn't get opened up, get his thought for the day, throw his finger down. Amen. Found a place, throwed his finger down there on it, and he said, go and hang thyself. Amen. He said, oh my goodness, said, that ain't no good. So he flipped over there, opened it up again, throwed it down again, and he said, whatsoever thou doest too quickly. Amen. But we need to get the Word of God and plant it in our heart and let it live alive in us. Amen. Because there's a friend in Jesus that wants to communicate to us just like He communicated with the Father. Amen. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Verse 10, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and He and abide in His love. He said, this is in verse 12, He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Verse 14, He says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you. Amen. He said, abide in my love. Where do we find, listen, look at me. Where do we find the love of God? In His Word. We find the love of God in His Word. We find a friend, our friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His Word. It abides in us. Amen. We're supposed to take this book and make it part of who we are. Praise God. It should abide in us. That means it takes up its abode, kicks off its shoes to stay a while. Amen. With you wherever you go, you can't get away from it. Amen. I get out somewhere and I get talking to somebody, and it ain't just a second. I get to think, how can I bring the Lord into this? Amen. You say, well, preacher, you're crazy. No. Yeah, I am crazy about Jesus. Amen. I got to see two old boys I worked with at Silver Line Plastics. I was going through there, and this old boy came up, and he said, hey, how you doing? I said, hey, how are you? Got talked, hadn't seen him in years. Shook his hand. Amen. Looked around here. Said, what are we having, a Silver Line reunion? Amen. Looked around. Here's another boy I hadn't seen in over 15 years probably. Amen. All of us had left Silver Line. I said, we're having an ex-Silver Line party. Amen. And we got the fellowshipping. And the first thing I want to do is tell them about Jesus. They said, what are you doing now? I thought, glory God, I'm glad you asked. I said, I'm pastor of Stony Fork Baptist Church. I'm Canada, praise God. And a little old country church where God shows up. Amen. I said, you ought to come up and visit with us. We'd be glad to have you, amen. Why? Because they something inside me. I've just got to tell them about my Savior. I want people to feel as good as I do. Amen. You said, preacher, you're as busted up as you are. How can you feel good about anything? I feel good about Jesus. Amen. He ain't ever failed me. He ain't ever not been a friend to me. Amen. So we see that being a friend of Jesus involves being pleasing to Him, realizing He's our Master, and He shares His confidence with us. The communication is with the Father, praise God. And because of that, we enter into a partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize today that we're in a partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now listen to me. If you don't get nothing else I say tonight, I want you to get this. Me and you, born again believers, I believe everybody here is not saved. Born again believers, amen, we're in a partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Ain't that right? And if we're in a partnership with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He's our friend. And I don't want to do anything to mess up the partnership. I don't want to do anything to hurt the heart of my friend. So what we do as children of God, we do our best to progress the business, the partnership, to make the partnership move ahead smoothly. Hello? But I just wonder how well we're doing on our part. Because the Lord's doing His part. I mean, He's bringing us along, He's feeding us, He's giving us stuff, He's giving us good stuff. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because we come here for Sunday school. We come here for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen. People get up and they testify. They praise God, the Word of God, the songs to God. They all fit together like a glove. Amen. I can't do that. I just pray and seek God's face. I said, Lord, please give me what You'd have them to have. And boy, He just loaded my cart down good. And then I just come pour you out a little portion of it. Amen. What I can remember. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he just blessing us so much, praise God. And we're just gleaning the things of God. It's just getting better and better and bigger and bigger. Amen. Why? Because our friend Jesus, amen, as we're going along with Him, amen, we're in a thing together with Him, praise God, and we're doing this thing for His glory, and it's just getting bigger and better because it has to. He can't fail. Amen. So when we come into it with Him, praise God, we're partakers with Him in this thing, a partnership, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So it's a whole lot bigger than we are. It's a whole lot bigger than being a servant, just a plain old servant. If we did, we'd feel like we was trapped in a servitude. Amen? Now that's where the world wants to go. That's the way the socialists and the communists in this world wants to take us. They want to have the subservient down here and the super elitist up here without any middle ground. Amen? And a whole lot of people's signing up to get on board. But in order to do that, you've got to give away all your rights. You've got to give away every right. You've got to give away any convictions, any morality, everything you stand for. You've got to chunk out the door and let them have control. Listen, last time I looked, the Bible says that's of the devil. Amen? Do you remember when Israel went before Samuel? And they told Samuel, Samuel said, we won't be like all these other. We want a king to rule over us. Samuel said, youngins, don't you remember God that brought you out of Egypt? After 430 years of bitter bondage, brought you through the Dead Sea, praise God, dry shod, gave you the land, praise God, of promise, a land of milk and honey, praise the Lord. Amen. Come in the land. The enemy was destroyed before you. The field was ripe. The harvest. Glory be to God. So he said, just come and die. Don't you remember? And they said, well, we won't be like the other nation. We want a king. Amen. He said, what about King God? He said, no, we want a king to rule over us. He said, he's going to take the best of everything you got. He's going to take your women for servants and cooks, and he's going to take you, young men for battle. Gonna take your best horses. Gonna take your best cattle. Gonna take the best you got. They said, that's okay. We want a king. So God says, give them a king. So they want a king. Give them a king. So he picked out and he anointed Saul. Remember the story? He was out looking. They had lost their asses and they went to find them. And they couldn't find him. He got separated from his father-in-law. So he goes over there and Samuel comes across him. He says, hey, listen, so I'm not announce you. I'm going to anoint you. You're going to be the next king. Finally, his father catch up with his servant. He said, hey, where have you been? He said, hey, listen, he said, I've heard that you found asses. He said, yes, that's why. He said, that's all I know. He didn't tell him God done told him he's going to be anointed to be king. They said, well, call him up here. Let's see what he's got. They said, okay. He said, call the tribe of Benjamin. Saul's tribe of Benjamin called them out there. And they got looking around. There wasn't no Saul nowhere. And Samuel said, where's Saul? And they said, we don't know where he's at. We can't find him. He said, well, go hunt him. So they went looking. You know where they found him? Found him in one of the trailers in the stuff. Some of the women had packed some stuff in the thing for the get-together, praise God. And he was hiding in the stuff. They ought to know right then, praise God, they didn't need that kind of stuff. Amen? That would have told me right then if I'd have been a Benjaminite. I said, you know what? I don't need that kind of stuff. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen? But they, you know the story. They anointed him, made him king, and he ruled over them. And it was just exactly as Samuel told him it'd be. Amen? Turned out to be an unrighteous king. Praise God. Because of a partnership that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a righteous king. Amen. Praise God. To rule over us. It's greater than a servitude. It's greater than any privilege that we have to serve Him. It's being a partner with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless His holy name. But the biggest part of that, though, and I'm going to hurry. I'm about done. But the biggest part of that, are you ready for this? And it wasn't in our choosing. Hello, think about that a minute. What do you say? I'm saying it was not our choosing to be a partner with Christ. Look at verse 16. He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you to set apart. Amen. Glory be to God. Now listen to this. This is not, he's not talking about our eternal security, our eternal life here. Amen. He's not talking about our salvation here. He's talking about our being a servant here, about our being fruitful here, about our being useful for the glory of God. Amen. Because if you remember, if you go back to the first part of this, in order to go back and read it, it's about the vine and the true vine and the branches. Amen. And the branches being fruitful and more fruitful. Praise God. Something that we can't do by ourselves. And he said, you know what? He said, your fruitfulness, your servants to me, praise God, is not of yourselves, praise God. It's my choosing. Director, brother, we ought to just stop and take a running fit. Because God says, you know what? He said, I chose you to be my helper. He said, I chose you to be my partner. Lord, if you was the only person in the world, God says, I chose you. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. He said, I chose you to be my partner. Not in servanthood, but praise God, as a friend. He said, I chose you. I call you my friend. Right. Amen. Then he says, let's go on. Let's get this thing done. Amen. For God's glory. Praise His holy name. He said, I chose you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. He said, I set you apart. That ye should go and bring forth what? Fruit. Wonder what we're doing, what He gave us to do with. Amen. These last days we live. Praise God. He said, I chose you. In other words, He had the initiative in this. Amen. He initiated the act. Praise God. He chose you. If you don't think home nothing else, just keep saying to yourself, praise God, Jesus chose me. Jesus chose me to be fruitful, to be in partnership with Him. He said that your fruit should remain. Hello? No decaying fruit here. Amen? Fresh fruit on every aisle. Praise God. Amen? No decaying, no rotten fruit in here. Man. Lord said, I don't allow it. I don't accept it. I don't partake of it. Praise God. All my fruit is good fruit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Bless His holy name. So He took the initiative. He chose me. I didn't choose. He chose me for service. He chose me for fruitfulness. To be fruitful in these days that we live. And we're blessed enough, Brother Don, to get to live in the last days of the church age. You say, how do you know? Look around you. People are falling out of this thing like flies. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of pastors here lately, and they're saying, man, Sunday morning, the crowd's pretty decent. Sunday night, hey man, it's way down. Wednesday night, you can't hardly find people to come. I'm talking about big churches. Talked to a fellow today, said, we run over 200 people on Sunday morning. Sunday night, we're down to about 50 or 60. He said, Wednesday night, we'd be good to have 20. Amen. Why? Because people are not partaking in the partnership of Christ. We don't have a big enough desire to be fruitful. Amen. How do you be fruitful? But he said, when you're partaking from the vine. Amen. When we're partaking from the vine, then we're fruitful. If we're not partaking from the vine, if we ain't getting from the vine, the true vine, praise God, we're not going to be able to produce fruit. Begin to dwindle away, be like that withering. I preached on there Sunday morning. Amen. It'd be start withering away. Praise God. But what we have when we combine the service and we combine the fruitfulness, and then he says when we combine it with prevailing prayer, praise God, this thing comes together like it ought to. He goes on in verse 16. He says that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. When we take this thing and we're of His choosing and we combine the service with the fruitfulness, amen, and we combine it with the prevailing prayer, praise God, God brings you together, and amen, and He helps us to prevail, amen. That prayer that we seek for help and guidance and satisfaction, joy, right now, amen. You know, it's not wrong to pray and ask God to give you the filling of the Spirit, to load you up, give you of His Word, amen. It's not wrong to ask God to do that right now. Amen. We need it right now. Amen. I ain't going to pray, God, please that. Please, Lord, do that for me next week. Because I need it right now. So he said, if we realize that we're partakers, Jesus chose us to be partners with him. Praise God. And we do it in a combined service to him and a fruitfulness to him. In that prayer life, praise God, we're lifting and calling on him, trusting him, and asking him for things that'll help us to be more like him. Praise God. He said, he'll pull this thing together. And he said, it'll be so sweet. Amen. You'll begin to think that you have a friend in Jesus. Amen. Amen. He said, it'll start being so good, it'll start feeling so right, praise God, that you'll say, you know what? You'll be able to raise your hand and say, praise God, I got a friend in Jesus.
Amen.
And you'll know it. It'll be real. Amen. Having a friend. I wonder now, do you have a friend? You have a friend in Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. I love Alexis. Hey, God, she's a little shaking that little head. Amen. These little ones even know you got a friend in Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And Jesus said, I chose you. Amen. To be fruitful together with me. For my glory. He said, I'll give you what you need. Amen. And we'll produce fruit. More fruit. An abundance of fruit. And he said, guess what? He said, it'll all be good fruit. Amen. Glory be to God. I would that every one of us could be good fruit. Amen. Not fruits, but good fruit. Amen. For the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that he can use, pray God. Something that'll be good for the glory of God. Amen.